grown more. I know I say this every time, but I still keep growing. I've grown more than I have with y'all than, you know, any other congregation. I appreciate you guys for that, and I love y'all. I want to say thank you for my family. I wouldn't have the courage to come up here if you guys didn't keep pushing me. I know I'm not the best public speaker, but you guys have done well in training me. I could have been born in any type of household, you know, where we didn't have any God in us at all. And, you know, I'm very thankful for y'all. Most importantly, I would like to thank God and praise him for every bit and second of my life. I thank him for my existence, the fact that I have eyes to see his wonders when I walk outside, the fact that I'm allowed to talk, move, and eat. And I know those are things we all tend to take for granted, but, you know, it's just the little things. You know, everything is a gift from God, everything good. And I consider it all a blessing and grace. Another thing, I don't know if everybody heard about the tragic news about basketball NBA player Kobe Bryant. I just would like to ask you all to keep his family in you guys' prayers. I know that's tough, and it's a little tough on, you know, tough on the world right now. But this evening, the topic I would like to discuss, and also the title of my lesson, is surrendering your life to Christ. About 2 weeks ago, I went down to Atlanta visit my girlfriend, and I went to church with her. First thing that caught me off guard is, you know, I pull up in there, and then you already got a line. You got designated parking. Then you got a line waiting outside, and it's already 9:30. Service is supposed to start at 9:30, and you got a line of people waiting outside. And, you know, it's winter. It's cold. Why are people outside? But anyway, so I meet up with her. We get out of our car, meet up with her. We walk in the building, and, you know, it's one thing that also caught me off guard was the banner. It said nothing about Christ nor church. It just said, you know, All Nations Worship Assembly. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. I sure wasn't. So we walked in there. Just pitch black. Well, not pitch black. It was black. It was dark in there. Then there was, like, a cutoff section. You know, the things they have in the movies, you know, separate. Yeah. They had that in there for a certain section. You got LED lights, strobe lights, a flat screen on one side, another flat screen on here. You got the band going hard, like, just going hard. you couldn't even barely hear. So we sat through the service. I was busy trying to digest everything that was going on in there. I didn't want to be judgmental because I've never been to this church. So I was like, you know, let me just see, you know, and see if they preach the gospel. So for one, we didn't take a communion. Nowhere in the service did they even preach on the gospel at all. The only time I heard sin was at the end in prayer. There was no conviction. Like I told my family, it felt like I was in a foreign exchange seminar. It was all about, you know, material gain and success on earth. And that's part of what is tying into my lesson on surrendering your life to Christ. Because clearly they were selectively surrendering their life. To get on with the lesson, there is a cancer that's rapidly growing in the body of Christ, and it's sugarcoating what Christianity is all about. The problem some of us face is that we accept Jesus as our Savior, but don't make him our Lord. And you say, Jeremiah, what do you mean? Well, what I'm basically trying to say is that we give lip service on our faith and say we believe 3 bags full, but don't produce any fruit. As stated in James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to actually start applying the soap so that we will be clean, instead of looking at it just set up on the rag. I'm guilty of it too. We often treat God like a magic genie and expect nothing but blessings, welfare, and all the good from him. Even in prayer, we ask, what can I get out of this? You know, Lord, what's my benefit? Can you do this for me? Can you open this door for me? Can you provide me with this? Can you do all this? I mean, and some of that is good to a certain extent, but when it takes your mind off of, when you get too selfish, when you get to the point of being too selfish, and then you become selfish for so long that it becomes routine, and then so selfish to the point where we can never consider what exactly what he wants from us. If you will, please turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to read verses 41 through 42. Let's say amen when you got it, please. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This verse, to me, is probably the most profound in how Jesus is being 100% human, just as much as he was God. Being human, Jesus expressed his flesh and by asking God to do something else rather than his will, but Jesus also knew that he was about his Father's will, and that while still being human and wanting this cup to pass from him, he still was humble to the Father and said some very key important words. Not my will, but yours be done. That says a lot in and of itself. If Jesus is our example for how we should carry our cross, then if he was unselfish when it came to what God wanted, shouldn't we do the same when we come to God in prayer in our daily Christian walk? When you pour out your heart to God in times of trial and questioning, you always end it with God's will be done. And don't make the mistake of thinking just because you said, you know, let your will be done, that's going to reverse. And he'd be like, oh, you know, you asked me for my will to be done. I'm going to give you what you wanted in the first place. It don't work like that. God don't work like that. That's when you say this. You are prepared for his will to be done. And that is truly surrendering. Furthering along with the lesson, we need to first know what the word surrendering means. Surrendering means to hold up your white flag and give your rights and your will to the opposition or the authority. In this case, it's not an opposition because God is on our side. The same applies to God. When we tell God we surrender, we're literally giving him control over our life. Until you come to this understanding, you will never be what God intended for you to be. And no, I don't mean you will gain worldly success, possessions, and power, but that you now acknowledge that God is the ruler over your life. This is easier said than done. Because this is a pride issue that humans have, we never want to submit to authority. We want things to go our way and to have control over our life, which is why in the Bible we see from Genesis to Revelation the rebellion of human beings. But if you're really serious and committed to serving Christ, then this is a necessity. Because we see exactly what happens when you take Satan's mindset ever since the fall of doing whatever you want to do. Many Christians deceive themselves by selectively choosing how you want to carry your cross. No, you have to take it all. When people say, I got my own relationship with Christ, that means that they have sins and certain things that they don't want to repent for. And repenting means to actually turn around and, you know, go the other way, do the exact opposite. It doesn't mean, you know, just ask for forgiveness and keep doing the same thing over again. Christ gives you a new desire and a new heart. They don't want to give Christ their all, just a little. God can have this area, but, you know, I personally don't want him to touch this area over here. Like, you can have this area of my life, but I don't want you to, I don't want to do that. I'm not ready. They're not going to vocalize it, but that's what everybody thinks in their minds. That's why Jesus in Scripture asked several times, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. People have this lie portrayed in their heads that when you become a Christian, your life is going to be easy and basically, you know, live, tie into like the American dream. You know, I want to grow old. I want to have a lot of kids, a lot of money. I want to be wealthy. I want to be comfortable living life. If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 9, 22, and I'm going to read 22 through verse 27. And say amen when you have it, please. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, verses 22, and I'm going to read through 27. Yes, ma'am. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. This is about denying the flesh and becoming holy. God doesn't care about your money, your success, or what you desire in vain. Our walk with Christ is filled with suffering and how we endure through the suffering. People literally have died for even speaking about Christ. Some were even thrown in games, and some even got beheaded. So do not fool yourselves in thinking this is easy. Why am I saying all this? Because it is a spiritual satisfaction and beauty in suffering. And by spiritual satisfaction, I mean peace. A peace that's indescribable. A peace that, you know, no worldly possessions or anything material or anything temporary can amount to. This peace is, how I say it? It's like, I use the analogy of a parachute. When you jump, as my dad said, when you jump out the plane, you know, you scared so much that you're going to clench to the parachute. You don't just care about it. You know, you're scared for your life, so you're going to clench on it. Well, that's how we should treat Jesus. That's what true peace is. No matter what the trials you go through, the testing of your faith comes in those trials. And whether you turn to Jesus, you know, God, in those trials. We need to understand that life on earth is testing ground and that it isn't our home. So in our walk, we need to make corrections. It's hard with the human condition, but we get spiritual gain from following God. It can't even be put into words. So I'm going to talk to you about three main surrendering spiritual gains. Number one, surrender exposes what's in your heart. When you confess what's on your heart, you're able to examine your faith and grow from that. So let's say from the Lord's table, for example. I'm not exactly too sure exactly what verse it is, but when Paul is giving instruction on the Lord's table, he said, you know, therefore let a man examine himself. You know, don't take a cavalier approach about this, because we're really supposed to be sitting here and examining ourselves as far as, like, sins you've committed. Basically just checking yourself to see if you're really for real about this thing. And you need to take it serious. And even go as far as to say, is coming at that in a cavalier approach. You know, some of you are asleep, sick, and some of you are weak. So, like, you know, clearly going to show you that that's God's chastising hand on if you take this in a cavalier approach. The second game, surrender gives us an eternal focus. If you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And say amen when you have it, please. Oh, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And also, if you would, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And say amen when you have it, please. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Point number three, surrender qualifies you for God's work. And if you would, also turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8. Hey, say amen, will you have it, please? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." When it comes to God accomplishing his will, work, and purpose in the earth, there's only one thing that matters. Are you willing? Talent is nice, and God can use whatever talents you offer him. Money is nice, and you can use the resources you have to bless others and advance his kingdom. Gifts are great, too, and God can use them as well. However, the most important thing God needs from you is your willingness. Will you surrender and say, "Your will be done," as Jesus instructed? The question God asked Isaiah is the same question he is still asking. Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? This may come with some challenges, twists, and turns you didn't expect. It will also come with greater joy and fulfillment than you ever thought possible in this life. The true beauty in it is when life is done and you fulfilled his will for you, and you will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." On that day, you will know it was truly worth it all. So in closing, I would love if you all, whenever you will, please surrender your whole life to Christ. It's a peace worth fighting for. I love you all, and I wouldn't love you if I didn't tell you. If anyone has a need tonight, please come as we stand and sing.